Greetings, bibliophiles, to 5 Author Questions, or 5AQ, presented by the Kalamazoo Public Library, the podcast that attempts to delve into the minds of writers using only 5 questions. Hello, my name is Kevin King. I'm head of community engagement here at the library.
And I'm Sandra Farrick, head of youth services here at the Kalamazoo Library. And Kevin, I'm very excited about our guest. I loved their first book, and I'm really excited about their second book.
Just came out this spring.
The main character makes me pause.
Yes, tell us why.
Just because I've said it one way for 40 years, and apparently there's a whole other way you can say it. But as usual, we digress.
We totally digress. But that's what makes the show charming and fun, I think, the digressions.
Absolutely.
Totally. So today's one of those episodes where Sandra and I are not in the same room. So it's a little interesting because she can't poke me and make faces at me. Close by.
I will still make faces at you. Don't worry.
Okay, I'm sure you will. So talk about
if you want to see, if you want to join in our shenanigans, you can follow us on Instagram at 5 Author Questions. Please spell out 5, F-I-V-E, Author Questions. On Twitter, we're at 5AQPod. And an email, so you could tell us how much you love our shenanigans, it is podcasts with an S, at kpl.gov. And just remember that you should like, share, and subscribe to 5AQ.
And every email should include the word shenanigans because it's a very underutilized word. It needs to come back.
I love shenanigans.
It's a great word. It's a great word. Today's special guest is Hannah Khan, a Pakistani-American writer who is the author of middle grade novels, Amina's Voice, Amina's Song, and More to the Story, and picture books, Golden Domes and Silver Lanterns Under My Hijab. And my favorite, being a huge fan of Curious George, it's Ramadan, Curious George, among other books. Henna lives in a hometown of Rockville, Maryland, with her family. You can learn more about Henna and her books by visiting her website, hennakhan.com, or connecting with her at hennakhanbooks.
And I'm so thrilled to give you the description of Amina's Song. So in the companion novel to the beloved and award-winning Amina's Voice, Amina once again uses her voice to bridge the places, people, and communities that she loves, this time across continents. It's the last few days of her vacation in Pakistan, and Amina has loved every minute of it. The food, the shops, the time she spent with her family, all of it holds a special place in Amina's heart. Now that the school year is starting again, she's sad to leave, but also excited to share the wonders of Pakistan with her friends back in Greendale. After she's home, though, her friends don't seem overly interested in her trip. And when she decides to do a presentation on Pakistan hero Malala, her classmates focus the worst parts of the story. How can Amina share the beauty of Pakistan when no one wants to listen?
Welcome, Hannah.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So,
and I noticed that you said Pakistan, which few people do.
So. That one I knew.
So the show is 5 Author Questions, meaning we have 5 questions for you, but we almost always have some kind of follow-up along the way, and that doesn't count towards the 5 because it's our show and it's our rules and we don't want to change 5 Author Questions. Sound good?
Sounds great. Thank you.
All right. So question number 1, Salaam Reads is an imprint of Simon & Schuster that, quote, aims to introduce readers of all faiths and backgrounds to a wide variety of Muslim children and families and other Muslim kids and an opportunity to see themselves reflected positively in published works. Can you please speak to the importance of this imprint and how you felt when you found out Amina's Voice was going to be one of the first books published?
Yeah. So I can't overstate how much it meant to me to have this imprint created. I started publishing books with Muslim themes and Muslim characters in them, some years ago, I would say almost a decade before Salaam Reads. And, you know, it was always a struggle, right, to get these books acknowledged, to get them, for people to value their worth and to believe that they would sell and that they had a place in the marketplace, like so many reasons why people might be reluctant. And of course, Muslims make up a quarter of the world's population. Exactly. We're not looking at a small number of people. Mm-hmm. And our stories just weren't being shared. So to have an imprint created that focuses on these stories and wants to celebrate the diversity that exists within this community, and really just embraces all types of books and for all audiences, from picture book to YA. It's so special to me, and was really a shock actually when I learned that Amina's Voice was going to be published under this imprint. I had no idea.
Oh really?
I had submitted to Simon and Schuster, mm-hmm. To Zareen Joffrey as an editor, and when she acquired the book, the news had not been announced yet, okay. about Slam Reads, and then when it was, I couldn't have been more overjoyed, because I knew what it would mean, you know, not only to the kids reading these books, but to everyone, to have this home for these stories that were missing for far too long.
Agreed. And like you said, and I thought the same thing, it's like, it's not like there's not a market for books with Muslim characters. If it's a quarter of the population of the world. I mean, yeah. So I remember, and we were talking earlier about the ALA kind of announcement for that, and remembering how exciting it was to have so many new books come out in this new imprint. It's a wonderful imprint. I encourage anyone who listens to go check out the great titles that are in that, that Simon & Schuster is putting on under Salaam Reads.
Absolutely. Please do.
Question two.
Excluding Curious George, who you got to meet when you wrote It's Ramadan, Curious George. I'm a little jealous about that,
yeah,
by the way.
Mm-hmm.
What fictional character have you always wanted to meet in real life, and why?
It's funny that, you know, you mentioned a cartoon character. When I met my husband, we went through this game of asking each other questions. I think he had a book of questions that he went through, uh-huh. and he asked me the same question. And I said, Snoopy, without any hesitation.
Oh, wow.
And,
that's awesome.
And he was like, seriously, out of everybody in the world, like, I think he was thinking of, you know, film and TV and mm-hmm. any fictional character out yeah. there in addition to books. And I was like, no, Snoopy. So that would be my overall character, just because I grew up loving mm-hmm. Charlie Brown and watching the specials and reading the comics. And I just wanted a friend like Snoopy in my life. but in terms of a literary character, I would pick Jo March, because she was, Little Women was the book that I read and reread and just adored as a kid and a young adult. And she was somebody I just respected and wanted to be like in many ways. And she would just be so cool to be friends with. So I would love to meet Jo March too.
So what movie is your favorite out of all the Little Women movies?
This is the most recent.
This is like a controversy in my home.
Really?
Yeah. Because there's some that like the old Elizabeth Taylor in my family, some like the mm-hmm. Elizabeth Taylor, and some that, you know, like the newest one too, like the most, but the new one's great.
Any of them, actually, mm-hmm. really, I was very disappointed in all of the movies. I know a lot of people love the Winona Ryder one. I really didn't like that one because
yeah.
I thought they just changed mm-hmm. too much about the book and the spirit of some of the themes. And so I had my reservations about the new one, but I was pleasantly surprised, maybe because I went in with such low hopes, yeah. but I thought it was beautifully done and really captured certain elements of the story that don't always get emphasized in the film. So I liked it a lot. And the set, the costumes, all of it, beautiful.
Well, I think when a woman directs Little Women, it probably is going to maybe be a little better.
Absolutely.
Greta Gerwig. Yeah. So yeah,
now I'm thinking I should watch the newer version, because I just sort of gave up on them in life just because they never lived up. But now I may add that to my to be watched pile that I'll never get through. It's similar to my to be read pile. Yeah.
I'll give a little shameless plug. I wrote a inspired by Little yes. Women novel, more of the story. So please do check that out too.
No, that's not a film. You're here to talk about your stuff. So it's not a shameless plug.
No.
But I have one more Little Women story before we go to question three. So I never read I used to read everything in high school, and I never read Little Women because it was called Little Women, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I read Farmer Boy. That was the only Laura Ingalls Wilder book I read because it had boy in the title.
Right.
But I remember when I got to college and I had to read Little Women in a class, I was like, this is a phenomenal book, and I cannot believe, and I was really mad. I'm still mad at myself for not reading it earlier in life. And I think that's just, So don't let gender stereotypes prevent you from meeting Little Women. Let's just say that right now. All right. Question three. If you could pick a song, theme song for your life, what would you choose and why?
So this is really funny because my friends tease me. There was a song, actually, I don't even know who the artist is, but it came out a few years ago, and it was, the refrain is, I wish that I could be like the cool kids. I don't even know who it is. I should have looked it up. But they were like, oh, we found the theme song for your life. It makes us think of you. And I was like, no. So when I hear that question, that's the first one that comes to mind, but it's not my theme song. It's another people pick for me. I think I would pick In My Life by the Beatles. Nice. I was a huge Beatles fan when I was growing up in high school. I loved the Beatles. I loved Motown classics. And I just love everything about that song, like the nostalgia and just the beauty. I mean, they're just masterful lyricists. And so it's poetry. And I just love that song. So I would pick that.
Great choice. So for those of you listening, we have a Spotify playlist. This is one of our more popular questions we've asked all the authors. If you go to Spotify and look up 5AQ playlist, you will see a list of all the songs all the authors have picked so far.
Oh, very cool.
It's quite an eclectic list. It's kind of fun to read. So the trick is to read the list, look at the guests, and try to match them.
Yep.
I'm going to play that game.
Yeah, it's a fun game.
They are across the board. We've got some real interesting theme songs, and I love hearing everybody's answers about them.
Yeah, it's great. So,
okay, question 4. Besides giving them your books, can you share any advice to teachers and librarians struggling to fight Islamophobia in their classrooms and libraries?
Yes. I know it's such a big topic, and unfortunately one that more and more we're seeing needs to be confronted in the classroom, specifically because there's data that shows that, you know, more than 50% of American Muslim kids have reported being bullied or discriminated against at school. And that even includes, unfortunately, by administrators and teachers in some cases. But I feel like, you know, this isn't getting enough attention. And I so appreciate you bringing it up and asking. You know, I do think that obviously fiction is a great, you know, introduction to Muslim people and Muslim stories. But I think, you know, the research shows that, and I think the American Academy of Religion, perhaps it is, was talking about how important just basic religious literacy is. So I think teaching kids about Islam as a social study, you know, would help a lot in terms of understanding who Muslim people are and what the beliefs are, and maybe to sort of dispel some of the negativity or Islamophobic thoughts that are being propagated, you know, to counter that with actual information could be important first step. And I know a lot of people are, you know, wary about introducing religion, but obviously it's, you know, I fully support separation of church and state, and we're not talking about proselytizing, but religion as a social science, you know, as a study of people, is important. And apart from that, I would say you want to really specifically tackle Islamophobia, I think it's important to just have really candid conversations with students about some of the really negative things that are being said on the playground and in the lunchroom, that people may not realize are rooted in hate and Islamophobic thought. You know, calling kids terrorists, making jokes about suicide bombings, or, you know, calling kids ISIS or anything like that is hate speech. And I don't think it's been classified as such because some of these things are newer terms that are being thrown around, or, you know, having a kid being taunted and being called bin Laden, or, you know, whatever. Like, we don't necessarily, as adults, we haven't dealt with that for many, many years. And I think there just needs to be a much more concerted effort towards calling that language out and making it clear to kids that it's just not acceptable and that it is hateful and just something that we don't stand for. I hope that would go a long way in terms of making people realize subconsciously things they might be saying that are hurtful.
Yeah, definitely. I love the suggestion of basic religious studies. I find that was something that was very lacking in my high school years. And then when I went to a Big Ten university, one of my best friends was Jewish, and I didn't really understand anything about it. And I just remember saying right before the holiday break, so what are you going to do for Christmas? And he just looked at me like, dude, I'm Jewish. And I'm like, Oh, yeah. Because I just had, I mean, he was maybe the first Jewish person I probably knew I met. So right. I think that was really, I agree with you. I think that looking at it as like, you know, social science is very important.
Yeah. And there are resources out there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it often is part of a curriculum. I've talked to teachers who've said that, you know, or you know, teachers of teachers who talk about mm-hmm. how a lot of times people feel a little ill-equipped to teach it. And so sometimes it gets left off or yeah. sort of, you know, saved for the end of the year, but there are really great teaching tools out there. And, you know, obviously not just Islam, but, you know, yeah. world religions in general are, you know, just a fascinating subject and also could have really great, you know, social benefits as well.
Yeah. Do you think it's
even if it was just in the beginning, you know, when they're doing social studies, right. And they're like mm-hmm. talking about different countries and do your reports. I grew up as, if you have been listening to our podcast, you will all know that I grew up in New York City. So I did have exposure to other religions, but there are still so many that I like never heard of or didn't, or I may have heard of them, but didn't know what they were about. So it should just start, like Henna says, like as a social science mm-hmm. explanation, like these are the people that live there. Some people believe this, other people believe that. These are the holidays. This is what they do. They have delicious food, you know, put that positive spin to show the different cultures of the world and how it's not as different as they think. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. No, yeah. Great answer. Thank you so much. We're all ready to question number 5. So how, and this is one that's been another favorite of ours during the podcast, specifically because of the pandemic year we just went through, but how do you practice self-care?
Yeah. You know, it's one of those things that initially I would say, oh, maybe I don't, but if I think about it, I think I do in different ways, maybe not the ways I want to, like luxuriating at a spa or something like that. But I think I try to be, you know, careful with sleep, especially. Mm-hmm. I realize that that's something I safeguard really closely and realize I'm just not a healthy person when I don't sleep. And especially during the pandemic, I was, you know, having a lot of anxiety and weird dreams. And so I'm a napper. I mm-hmm. love taking naps. And when I feel like I need a break from life and just need to recharge, I will just take an afternoon nap. And it's my favorite thing to do. That, and then, you know, really good coffee and trying to reach out to friends and, you know, other things I know that make me feel better about myself, and also trying to get out a little bit more into, for me personally, one positive thing that has come out of the pandemic is just being outside more and mm-hmm. trying to appreciate nature in a way that I didn't always take time for in the past. Mm-hmm. So I would say those are most of the ways I try, and snuggling up with a book whenever possible. But that's like when I'm really indulging.
Uh-huh. I find it interesting that it took a pandemic and like forced seclusion to get us to love nature again.
I know.
Like before we could anytime just go out and enjoy nature, but it took us, yeah. Like you have to be inside for you to go, no, I don't want to be outside. I mean, inside, I want to be outside. And
even birds chirping. Like I was like, oh, I know. Birds always this loud. Like I know there was less noise pollution initially, yeah. But I was like, can't just be that. Like the birds were probably always there, but I just didn't notice.
Yeah. No. These birds are way louder than they've ever been.
Okay, good. That makes me feel better then.
Yeah, no, they are.
How did I not notice this?
It's a new generation of super bird that's kind of risen above. They thought we were gone, and they was like, it's time for the bird apocalypse, I think. But
I know, they're screaming at us. They're back! They're back!
I know. It is interesting, though, that they said that we're going to see some really interesting effects of nature in the next few years because of mm-hmm. the pandemic and the less pollution and, you know, and it'll be really interesting. I remember they said that in Venice, they saw there were more dolphin sightings in the canals than there ever were before because of the mm-hmm. lack of people and the pollution. So, you know.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
Good stuff from that.
The earth are taking over. They're screaming, go back inside.
I know, right? Give me back my space.
I'm still on the you are able to nap. Because if I nap, that's it. I'm never sleeping in the nighttime. Like, that's just, it's either I'm napping or I'm sleeping mm-hmm. in the evening. But I cannot do both. So that just sounds quite magical to me. And I want to know how to do that.
Yeah, we get some good self-care tips when we talk to people. So thank you for that.
Cool. Yeah, if there's a way to work it in.
Yeah. My watch judges me on my sleep. And when I don't get very good sleep, it'll sometimes say fair. which is just one level above poor. Mm. And I look at it, I'm like, nothing about my sleep was fair. How dare you judge me? was not good. Now we digress, we chit-chat, it's fine. Mm-hmm. Our bonus question is, what's now or what's next for you? Any projects? What are you doing?
I'm working on a couple of things right now, which are really fun. One is a new series that's the companion to the Zaid Salim Chasing the Dream series, so early middle grade chapter books. And it's featuring this new series is featuring Zaid's sister Zara. And speaking of the pandemic and just things, it's a lot of play, a lot of neighborhood focus, and really, really fun to go back and revisit this family that I just adore, and to get to write Zara, who's just my little Ramona Quimby kind of. So I just love her. And then another series, which is super different, which I'm co-authoring with my friend Andrea Minotti, and it's called Super You, and it's a choose your path series where you, the reader, get some kind of superpower and then have to make choices that will direct the narrative to lead you to becoming a superhero or a supervillain, depending on what you do. So it's been really, really fun to write. The first book is The Power of Flight, and the second one that we're working on now is about invisibility.
So are you a fan of superheroes? Are you a comic book reader?
I have become one in recent years. I didn't grow up reading too many comics other than Archie, but I did love the Choose Your Path novels as a kid.
Yeah, Choose Your Own Adventure. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I love those. Yeah. And these are a bit different because the Choose Your Own Adventure ones I felt were always kind of arbitrary.
Yeah.
You know, there was no consequence. And sometimes the genre would even change mid-book, which you know, sort of threw me. I never liked that aspect of it, but so these are, you know, more focused, and you have like one path that will lead you to becoming a superhero or the supervillain, but you know, and your choices have consequences, which I really love about it. And yet there's all these other ways the story can go, and you know, different ways to cross over and things like that. So
that's really
hopefully
cool.
A fun way to get
that
kids
sounds to start
reading.
So fun.
I know, I'm totally gonna read those, because being a fan of those types of books. You know, being a comic book fan and a fan of those types of books, I'm reading that.
Yay. Yeah. I hope lots of people feel that way.
Oh, well, you've been on 5AQ, so your readership's going to go way up.
Just exploded.
I know. You're just can you hear the cha-ching, cha-ching?
Over the birds.
Barely over the loud, those darn birds. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it, and looking forward to seeing you again in the future at some book ALA library type conference.
I would love that. Yes.
That would be great. Thank you. If you're ever in the Kalamazoo area, please stop by and see us. And
I would love that. I will.
So today, thanks to today's guest, Hannah Kahn. Thanks for listening to another episode of 5 Author Questions, presented by the Kalamazoo Public Library. Be sure to subscribe so you do not miss an episode.
And finally, we leave you with a quote from actor Patrick McGoohan. Questions are a burden to others. Answers are a prison for oneself.
By the way, I think that song's called Cool Kids by Echo Smith.
Thank you. I just knew the refrain. I should have looked it up.
I was going to look it up after.